If you have your Bible and you want to follow along with us, turn in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice and said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I read this scripture, and for some of us, it's quite familiar, I'm sure. We've heard songs that have been sung about it. We've heard great messages that have been preached about it. And as I was beginning to seek God for what I could bring to this place, this is what he put in my spirit. Even though Paul and Silas were bound and shackled in a terrible place on false accusations, they still had a God that loved them and was listening. I'm glad to know that even when we get put in difficult predicaments where we have people that are coming against us when we don't deserve it, that in spite of what we are dealing with, that we still have a God that hears our situation and our affliction. One could say to themselves, well, they could have sat there and been the most upset person in history. They had done all these great miracles for the gospel, yet they were put up in prison for stuff that they didn't even really have to be in there for. But yet you begin to find that in spite of the shackles, in spite of the conditions, in spite of it probably being a little smelly up in there, in spite of maybe mold being inside of the prison cell, in spite of being surrounded by other people that may have deserved to be there, there was still something burning inside of them that caused them to want to lift up and praise God. So I want to tell somebody today, the devil might think he's got you bound up to where you can't even move, but I want to remind you today that your spirit is just as free as it was when you were saved. You don't have to worry if your body can't move. If your spirit can still say Jesus, there's hope for you. Oh Lord, woo! Oh, I'm getting excited, brother. God reminded me that even in my workplace that I'm still free. He reminded me in the difficulties of rumors and backbiting and division and strife that I'm still free. You might want to talk about me. They might want to talk about you. But you don't have to worry about opinions. They're only shackles anyway. Can we go on? Here's point number two the Holy Spirit gave me. These were powerful. I was sitting there at 11:30 last night, and my heart just broke when I began to read these. Even though their bodies were bound, their spirits were free. Free to worship. And here's the thing. The devil can try to bind you up in many ways. But here's one thing he's not going to steal from you. It's your praise. It's your praise. Now I want to make sure that I clarify up front that I'm not belittling anything with what I'm about to tell you. But what I'm talking about, the kind of praise I'm referring to, has nothing to do with what you have seen and heard today. I'm telling you, they did not have a praise band in that hour. I'm about to start preaching. They didn't have an evangelist trying to shake up their boat in that hour. All that they had was shackles on top of them. And I don't know if there's anybody that's got the shackles of life and trouble on their doorstep. The only thing I can tell you is that the scripture says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I'm telling you, you want to touch the Holy
of Holies. Begin to honor God in praise, and you'll cause the very prison doors to be opened. You'll cause the prison to shake underneath you. You'll cause your captors to even be afraid. Now, let's connect praise with our lifestyle. Before I can go on, I just want to clarify on this. You see, they weren't thanking God out of convention, out of tradition. I'm pretty sure if you looked at the minister's manual you can buy on Amazon.com, there isn't a section for what you do when you're falsely accused in prison. Maybe we need to write that section, but chances are when you're... funeral sermons, wedding sermons, baptismal vows, marriage... Wait, there's nothing in here about when I'm really in trouble. How am I going to get out of this? Listen, sometimes there's not going to be an instruction manual for the trials of life. Sometimes you're just going to have to accept that you are where you are, that you're going through what you're going through, and obviously it's to grow you up and get you stronger in God. The Bible said He would not put on you more than you could bear, but what? Made a way of escape. They didn't say get you out of it to where you didn't have to deal with anything. He said a way of escape. How can you escape from something that you were bound to? How can you find deliverance from something that has caught you in a struggle? The beginnings of any deliverance start with the praises unto God. The delivering power of the Holy Ghost can only be ushered in when praises are on fire. Brother, I want to lay on of hands and see the demons run from me. Let me ask you a question. Can I preach a little while? Are we praising Him like we truly should? Let me tell you a little bit about my personal life. I was bound on drugs from about 14, 15 years old to about 22, 23. I should not be here. Let's put it like that. And there were people that loved me and prayed for me and fasted for me that began to praise God in living rooms and bedrooms and nowhere near the sanctuary of God. And I want to begin to tell you that I don't ever think that when I was in all these crack houses and around people that I shouldn't have been, that I felt like I was in prison. But to be honest with you, I was pretty bound up. I was in need of a move of God. And even when I couldn't move for myself, there was somebody that was crying out and praising God for me. And you might not think that if they're not here, that you're making a difference. But let me tell you, not only were Paul and Silas freed in that hour, but you read in reference to everybody that was in that prison that had been set free. Listen, we're not here just to praise God for our church to grow and be mighty. We are here to praise Him that the prison shackles, that people that are on stuff need to be delivered, that their freedom can come out of the praise. My God, I feel like preaching in here. Out of the praises of His people. You see, the world would have you look at your shackles and leave you to feel comfortless. But guess what? Scripture covered that too. The Bible said He would not leave you comfortless, that He was going to send you another comforter. And I begin to think about all the times that I go through today where I feel like that I'm bound in a situation. And I'm going to be very specific because I feel it in my spirit. People speaking wrong against you just to destroy you. People that you used to be able to trust are now neglecting you for spite and to make themselves feel good. Can I just talk for a little while? People that used to lend a hand no longer lend a hand. That kind of love is beginning to wax cold in the day we live in, where the world's compassion has failed. Jesus Christ came that our compassion would no longer fail, that it wouldn't fade away. He told the woman at the well, if you drink of this water, you're never going to thirst again. I begin to wonder what that water really represented. But you think about it, in that hour, He had compassion. He had compassion at the well. And I begin to think, now God, You have given us the ability to show compassion. But our compassion is not invigorated and stirred until we step through the gate. So I'm just going to give some recommendations that I give to my church all the time. If you look at where you are and what you did today to serve God, and it looks and feels the same as the past 10 times you've been there, it's time for a stirring in your life. If when you get down to pray that you have lost words to even say, that it's even beginning to be a bit boring to you. It's time for a stirring of the Holy Ghost in your life. You don't have to do a bunch of things wrong to be in a bad place. I'm here to tell you, I set out to do good, and wherever I go to do good, evil is always around me. And when you set evil out of a situation, the Bible says it's going to come out in another place 7 times stronger. So we can't be in here and be children in the eyes of God. We've got to be grown-ups and prepared for what is coming. I was so surprised, and I don't mean to make that sound like a bad thing, but I was so surprised to see how wonderful the worshiping spirit was in here. Let me tell you, everywhere that you go does not have this kind of freedom in worship. So when you find a place that has this kind of worship, you need to embrace it, support it, hold it up, and push it forward. Because let me tell you, that is the cry that begins to touch the Lord. Here we go. As their praises crossed into midnight, here is where you find it begins to touch God. Nobody wants to praise God at midnight. We want to be in bed by 11, unless we're a night owl. Then we want to watch TV or do something else. And here's the bottom line. Nobody wants to praise God when they're in the worst of it. I must be the only one. Nobody wants to praise God when we're in the worst of it. But I'm going to give you a nugget that's going to unlock some things for you in this place right now. Are you ready? If your praises are more dominant when it's darkest, then you won't have to try to prove anything when it's the brightest. When you begin to praise Him in your time of desperation, you're going to find that you're linked to the Holy Ghost just all the more than you would have been in a good situation. Listen, there are churches today that have every reason to be thankful for everything that they have, but they're ready to toss out the worship leader because they're tired of hearing the same old songs. There are Sunday school teachers that are pouring out their heart, but because it's not hip and cool and linking up to the programs of today, we don't have time for them. There are preachers today, they may not know all the Word of God yet, but they know the truth by the Holy Spirit, but we don't have time for that because we just want to hear about the blessings that God has in store for us. But the more that we continue in just getting what we want to hear, we become a complacent people, and when we need to praise Him at midnight, we say nothing. Let me get back to this story. 3 months had passed since I had been delivered. And let me tell you, it was a one-time Holy Ghost deliverance. 8.5 years of drug-bound addiction was alleviated in a matter of 30 seconds. I've not been back in 10 years. I don't plan on going back today. God is more than able to move, and that's all I know to say. And I was beginning to struggle in my life because everybody that had been around me saying, brother, you just go right on for Jesus. You just hold on for Jesus. Get in the Word of God and serve Him with all you've got. All the words and encouragement. You see, people was trying to let go a little bit and let me stand on my own. But let me tell you, you've got to keep up with people until they're able to stand because they might run into moments where they struggle. So I'm just going to testify that I was starting to get a little uncomfortable trying to do it on my own. I was beginning to be afraid, and I was driving down the highway, and I found myself in my mind thinking, where could I maybe go where I could get a fix? 3 months had went by since my deliverance. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you're only a decision away from falling away to a bad place. You better have it linked up with God and know who you are. And I was driving in my car. Nobody was with me. It was an old Toyota Camry. It got me where I wanted to go. And I was driving, and I didn't know what else to say. But I just began to say, God, I need you more now than I ever have my entire life. And all of a sudden, my hands began to shake. I couldn't hold on to the steering wheel. Something was beginning to happen inside of me. I began to pull over to the side of the road. And God gave me an encounter that I have not replicated since then. Because let me tell you, you're only going to be in the darkest place once in your life, and the devil will spend the rest of your life trying to get you back to where you were in that dark hour. But I begin to just sit there and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm not alone. When you think that you're alone, you're not alone. When you think you don't have a friend, you have a friend in Jesus. I'm getting excited about what God is doing because I see the day coming where they're not going to have any other place to go but the house of God. And I hope that we're close enough to him that we'll pull over on the side of the road and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I hope that we're so close to him that when we begin to check out at Walmart, that we say, thank you, God, for the groceries in my cart that I'm able to buy. Woo! 3 months had passed by, and I had that encounter with God. The next time I went to my home church of 22 years, something happened. All the years of me standing there and being quiet, wanting to say something, but feeling that fear set over me. I'm talking to some people right now that's on the verge of becoming exhortationists. I'm talking to two or three of you in here. I could come get you, but I'm going to leave you alone right now. And I began to stand up, and I started out with what I'd always said if I ever said anything. I thank God I'm saved. But something else was clicking in my spirit. And something in my heart began to say, and I want somebody to know you're not alone. And something else began to burn in me and say, I want you to know that God loves you. And it became from 1 minute to 2 minutes, 2 minutes to 5 minutes. And God began to use exhortation in my life. And it got so strong upon me. I said, Lord, I've got to go somewhere where I can give somebody hope. God, I know there's addicts out there that need to hear the message of the gospel. Where can I go? What can I do? Not too long after that, God put me in a place where I could begin to sing and do ministry. But then all of a sudden, exhortation was not enough for me. There was something that began to speak in my spirit about the word of God. And as I began to seek for answers, I'm telling somebody tonight, you don't need a prophet all the time to get an answer. You've got the word of God to serve you all the time. Prophecy is to confirm what the Lord is already trying to tell you. And I began to seek him in the word of God. And one day I finally decided I just wanted to get up and read something. I didn't go through a fancy ordination service. In fact, I had to go and get my own license online. I didn't have anybody to tell me, to reassure me that I had a burning call inside of my life. But every time that I go back in the place where I was in prison, to the place where I was in desperation, I remember that when I needed God to stand for me, he stood for me. And I want to go in every place that I can and to let everybody else know that there is hope for your children. There's hope for your loved ones. There's hope for those that are bound to drugs. We don't need to give up on them yet. They may struggle, but you might be the one that calls out a praise that breaks the shackles for them. I just want to go a little bit further. By this shaking, it caused those that were once their captor to be in fear of the power of God that was with them. Are we ready to go a little bit deeper? We're going to scratch the surface and we're going to go in just a little bit. I'm not going to force us in under our heads, but we're going to go a little bit deeper. After midnight, they had finally touched the Lord. The Lord began to shake everything. And those that had the weapons that made them feel empowered no longer were in power. How many of you know that by the blood of the Lamb, you have authority over Satan? So all that you have to do to remind Satan of your authority is to begin to shake things up. You see, you're no longer bound by the chains of sin. You can try to put them back on if you want to, but sin will never feel the same way that it used to be after God delivered you out of it. You can't go back to who you were. You already have tasted of the goodness of God. There is no place to turn back to. So I want to get this out there for some of us that have let our praises go stagnant. I'm here to tell you, praise is the only way to the Holy of Holies. It's the only way through the door. You've got to learn to worship him in spirit and in truth. That means when they're singing, that means when you're praying, that means when you're living your daily life. It ought to send the message that says, I praise you, Lord. How can I tell the Lord that I praise him without saying I praise him? Living in righteousness, holding your peace, loving your neighbor as yourself, says Lord, I honor you with my life. There's been some times I've wanted to speak my mind. Somebody say, oh yeah, brother. There's been some times I've wanted to let people know how bad they were bothering me. Somebody say, oh yeah, brother. I must be the only one in the house of God that's ever been there. Oh, but let me tell you about an experience I have when I want to say something. There's something that quickens me. The scripture says that the spirit will quicken your mortal body. when you would want to do something, the Holy Spirit, if you're connected with it, will save you from making a fool of yourself. Now, I'm just going to, I don't know who sits here on a regular basis, but I'm not trying to hex this chair or make fun of anybody that maybe comes and sits in this seat, but I'm going to be brother such and such that's too good to praise him, but has every reason in the world to criticize, okay? Man, they just sang too long today. If they would have just sang two less of songs, I could have praised him. Oh, that brother Muse, I'm telling you, he's a fireball, but he should quit about 20 minutes earlier because he's starting to get on my nerves a little bit. And then I'm going to go over here to Gossip Corner. I don't know who comes over here to talk. I'm not saying you do. But I'm talking over here with my brother and saying, well, maybe we just need to see about getting him out of the pulpit and trying to get somebody in here that'll take care of the flock. And starting to, who knows what I'm talking about in here today? If you don't think that this is going on, you need to open your eyes and realize that if people aren't entering into praise, they're saying something. Do you know why psychiatry is such a global profiting industry? Because everybody's got something bad to say. Psychiatrists would be the most broke people on earth if we actually prayed to God with our problems. Doctors and pharmaceuticals would not be the biggest industry on earth if we trusted God as our healer like we should. And we wouldn't have to put all of our preachers through three different kinds of school certifications and ordinations to ever begin to get behind them if we were truly connected with the anointing that was speaking through them. There's been a lot of ministries that have been discouraged just because somebody didn't praise. They complained. What if we took up a complaint offering one day? Oh, I do this in my church too. I'm not just doing this to you guys. What? That's a great idea, isn't it? Here's what we'll do. We'll take up a complaint offering. You write down the top five things. Only five people. Write down five things that are bothering you. And let's put it in a box. And guess what I'm going to do with it? I'm not even going to pray over it. I'm going to march it out to the dump. And I'm going to throw it in the garbage where it belongs. The only thing that should be coming out of our mouth is the praises for the things that God has done. He has been more than able to bless us and to deliver us out of all things. I used to have I like to call it a penny jar because I couldn't afford anything else. I did this for a little while. Every time that I would think of something bitter, I would add a penny. And guess what? Before I even got to the middle of the week, I was already up to 50 cents. You want to see how much you complain? Hold yourself accountable. You want to see how miserable you are? Start holding yourself accountable when you want to say something bad. You see, the Bible gave us a trash can, if you will, an outlet to dump our troubles to Him. Isn't it wonderful that He's the one that fights our battles? They could have tried to shake every which way they could. I don't care how much, if they would have been like Harry Houdini, they weren't getting out of those shackles in that prison that day. There could only be one thing that would set the shackles free. There could only be one move that could cause the prison to be opened up so that they could come and be saved, and that's through God. So here's something I'm going to extend to you as a friendly courtesy. Everywhere I go, everybody can think of a million reasons to be unhappy. And that's where the devil wants us. But here's what I'm going to extend to you today. Can we not think of one good reason to be thankful? I'm not asking for a great big list. I'm not asking that it stir you so much that you run the top of the pews. Think of one good thing God has done for you. And that's enough. That's enough. Oh, if they'd have everybody up there and playing my favorite song, I could get in there and... Woo, glory to God, I tell you. I could just praise Him. Oh, I wouldn't even care. I'd let my hair go every which way. I'd let them see me act a fool. I'd dance for Jesus all day. There's a lot of people that are dancing that aren't thankful. There's a lot of people that are singing these days that have become paid entertainers instead of sincere praisers. I don't do what I do for money. I tried doing that a long time ago, and guess what? It don't pay any good. Devil don't want you to know that there's no good money in it until you're already in it. And then when you're in it, then you find out there's no way out except by God. Come on, Brother Jared, stay on course. Can I read this last part to you today? I appreciate your attention. You can praise your way out of prison if you know how to worship. I'm going to say that again. You can praise your way out of prison if you know how to worship. Even greater than this, you can become a mighty witness of God if you know how to praise. You can be a mighty person in praise if you're a humble person. And you can be a humble person if you get back to the basics, that without God, we would be nothing. Without the blood of Christ, we would have not been forgiven. Without His Holy Spirit, we would not have comfort, guidance, and peace. And without God on our side, we would possess nothing but a judgment for hell. When you begin to touch God, where you are becomes irrelevant. That's the part I like about it the best. You see, if we all talked about our current struggles, none of them would be the same. But yet we share one commonality. We all serve the God who is able to help us. And I've heard people all my life say, if the church would just come together. It's been so cliched, if anybody says it, you almost just want to roll your eyes at it, right? If the church would just come together. No, let me break it down a little bit simpler. If the church would just come in and praise, you would begin to set the groundwork for somebody to begin to behold the fire that burns inside of you. God set the church to be a city on a hill, a light to which could not be hid. That means that you can't go to a church that's on fire and somebody not hear about you. I'm telling you, it was one of the toughest things I ever did when we launched our ministry out on YouTube. It was one of the most challenging things for me to do, because as I began to do that, guess what? You're no longer hiding from the person that you are inside the church house. People begin to see you shopping at the grocery store and start watching to see for failure. They're starting to look to see if you're going to stumble. They're looking at your wardrobe to see what kind of t-shirt you're wearing. They're looking for any reason in the world to cut you down. But guess what? God is God no matter where you are. It's irrelevant where you're sitting. If God is God, He doesn't change, then we don't have to change how we reach out to Him. So let me close with this remark. If our praise team here can come and get a song for us, I would really appreciate that. And I'm going to close with this. Look over at your neighbor and say, I'm surprised he's closing. He usually preaches for an hour. Let me close with this today. I want to say enough that it get a hold of you, but not enough that you throw it away. So I'm going to close with this remark today. You don't have to be a bad person to be in a place where you're bound. Life can come and cause us to make mistakes. But there's a first step for everything. If you're in need of having your relationship with God renewed, He said simply, but confess. Confess to the things you've done wrong, and out of repentance you can be forgiven of your sin. You see, we're under grace. Not the kind of grace that some people think they're under. I have a cousin of mine that was talking to a kid that goes to church, and the kid was cussing up and down, and my cousin was a little bit appalled by his behavior. I said, brother, how are you talking like that? He was like, it's okay, I'm under grace. That's not the kind of grace I'm talking about. That's slapping grace in the face, if you know what I mean. The kind of grace that we're under is when the scripture said the righteous man would fall 7 times, but he would get back up again 7 times. If you need a renewing in your life, God is here to renew your relationship. Because if you can't sincerely be thankful for what you have, then you are bound up by the bitterness of life. And listen, we can be under the bitterness of life in the blink of an eye. We can be unhappy with where we are in the blink of an eye. You may have been the one that's been told you had cancer, and I'm sure bitterness wanted to set all over you. But maybe you were delivered from that cancer, and you know God is more than able to be your healer. Maybe you've been in a situation where you got burned and put out there for something that you weren't, and you couldn't make it up, you couldn't take it back, you couldn't go back and fix anything, but yet you were able to come through it, and God is able to get you through it. But maybe you need God to help pick you up in a situation that's bigger than you are. To be honest with you, the only thing that keeps my ministry alive is my praise. I'm talking about just lifting your hands to a song. I'm talking about getting up in the morning and being thankful you have another day to live. I'm talking about driving in the middle of ice. Have you ever drove on I-75? That'll change your life. It'll cause you to pray through if you drive on 75 in the morning. It'll cause you to pray through before you get to work. I-640, I-75, there's 2 to 3 wrecks every day. When I get in the parking garage at Paper Mill and pull in, I say, thank you, Jesus, for another day of safety. If we can just find one thing, this is my challenge. And I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, it's really going to change your praise life. When you start coming into the house of God, don't wait for the song. Don't wait for the evangelist. Don't wait for the pastor. Don't wait for somebody to be all over themselves on fire for God to get you to finally, It's kind of like Scooby-Doo when he gets involved in the conversation. Don't wait for the moment where somebody has to shake you to get you to be thankful. The scripture gave us this instruction, and it said, be you content with such as you possess, as you have. So that's what I'm exhorting to you today. Come in and find one good reason to praise Him. Get up and praise Him for it. And I guarantee you, wherever you are, God is going to enlarge that territory. You see, the great thing about praises is that we lose regard for ourselves. We lose regard for our situation. And I don't know if anybody's ever been sick in body and you begin to praise Him in the anointing move. And how many of you remember that that which was bothering you wasn't bothering you anymore? You see, God wants to be touched by your praise so that He can touch you. We've lost such a disregard for the importance of worship. But I just want to reiterate and build that foundation stronger in here today. That worship is not only important, it's the cornerstone to getting to the deepest depths of miracles. Go ahead and stand with us if you can and you're able. And as they sing, this altar is open. We would be more than happy to pray with you. But just stand here today and think of one good thing God has done. And when you go out of here, you'll have a better reason to live than you did when you got here.